When the idea for these religious discussions came up maybe 6 weeks ago, a bunch of topics were mentioned, and one that I kept hearing at program, at planning meetings several times was the will of God, and kept thinking, ha, I'm not going to touch that one. And saw that Dan in three sessions managed to avoid it, and Elbert did too, and certainly shows my lack of wisdom. They both decided instead to talk about things that they'd been reading. My problem was I'd been reading about the life of Martin Luther, but might not fly so well here. So I finally decided maybe indeed it was God's will that I try to tackle this subject. But I really hope that, well, it started out to be a circle, but it looks sort of, I feel like I'm in front of a firing squad now. I really hope that this will be semi-forum style tonight. I'm sorry to say I don't have as definitive an answer or answers as I might like. I'm not sure that I'd like more definitive, but if you came looking for the blueprint for your life for the next 6 months, I'm not sure you'll find that tonight, perhaps. There's still time to get over to the pottery.
3 months?
3 months?
3 months?
Well, maybe I can handle that. And I talked a week ago with Corinne and said, you know, which way do you want to look at the will of God? I mean, in relation to, you know, figure out what I should be doing, or in relation to evil when bad things happen and people say, well, it was God's will. I've prepared both directions, and would be surprised, but possibly there'd be time to go both directions. Which way would you like to start? Have a preference? Because they're really quite separate subjects, I think. Between discerning God's will for my life or discussing God's will in relation to evil and bad things. They may be the same, Elmer, yeah.
Just start with evil things because everybody says, why does it happen to me?
Okay, that's one vote. Why don't we vote here? How many go for evil?
You mean what, the discussion here?
The discussion, yeah, not in favor. How many vote for discerning God's will for my life? I think that won by about 1.5 votes. Let's do that. And feel free to jump in, and I'm not going to... I've got less material on this than the other, so I hope I won't be talking too long and then open it for discussion. Let's see. The first question I had thinking about it was, is that a legitimate question? You know, to seek the will of God for my life, does that presume, what does that presume? Does that presume that there are, well, it presumes in the first place that God cares about me and would rather have me do some things more than others. And I think, can we agree on that much? Okay. Then the question is, how broad or narrow is that? I have known people who have defined the will of God very, very narrowly and rather approach each day as sort of a crossword puzzle. Or, you know, what should I do at this moment? God has a plan, and my role in life is to discern that roadmap and follow it precisely, or is it in broader parameters than that? An example of that is the idea that marriages are made in heaven and that God, before you were born, had in mind one person for you to marry if God has intended for you to marry, which may or may not be the case. And then part of your role in life is to find that person and convince him or her that you are the person and hope that God hasn't mismatched someone. And I said that a little more sarcastically than I intended to when I started. You might have guessed that I don't quite ascribe to that. Or in broader categories than that. Let's Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. Could somebody read that, please? Paul is writing, Church of Colossae. I don't have that quite same one, but that doesn't matter. For this reason, we've always prayed for you ever since we heard about you. We ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. So Paul certainly is expecting that God has a certain will for at least this church at Colossae, that they may bear fruit. So I think it is legitimate that we attempt to seek the will of God. Listen to one of the tapes. There are three different tapes in the library that deal with this, and one fellow quoted a 16th century quote that a man back in those days said, "I would rather be faced with 10,000 Turks with drawn sword than one Calvinist convinced he's doing the will of God." I'm going to suggest three good preacher style, three ways to get some clues for the will of God. First, when in talking to Corinne about this, she said, "Well, it would be interesting to see what the Bible says about this." As I thought about that, I realized, well, her presupposition is the Bible might be a good way to learn something about the will of God. And I think, in broad parameters, that's utterly legitimate. What does the Bible say? There's the old story about, you've probably all heard dozens of times, but that won't stop me, about the fellow looking for some direction in his life. So in desperation, he goes home and finds his Bible and unpacks it and flips it open and points at it, and it says, Judas went and hanged himself. He didn't like that. He quick flipped it and pushed again and said, "Go thou and do likewise." And tried one more time and said, "What thou doest, do quickly." So we need to be careful how we use the Bible in trying to seek God's will. I've tried that a number of times in my life, and I don't recall ever finding anything I liked, which we'll talk about in a little bit, about liking God's will. Very helpful book here called The Will of God, which deals more with the other side of the subject but in relation to evil, by Leslie Weatherhead. How many of you are familiar with it? It's a classic, old, by now written during World War II. Weatherhead talks about, or gives a good illustration, I think, of trying to seek God's will. He said sometimes people will be gathered together trying to think of some sort of present to give someone who's not present with them. And someone will say, "Well, I've known Ruth for 50 years, and I know exactly what she'd want." And we usually listen to that person who has known the person for so long. Or in interpreting a dead person's will, "You know, I've known Joe all my life. I think this is what he would like us to do with this money that he's given to the church," that sort of thing. And we respect that because of the long-time friendship. So too, Weatherhead suggests that to know God's will, the longer and the better friends we are with God, the better we're going to be able to figure that out. One of the ways we become friends with God, I think, is through Scripture, through reading the stories of people over many centuries trying to do God's will, trying to understand God's will, carry that out. Second way would be what Quakers call inner light. That still small voice hopefully of God within us. And that's one that I think all of these can be misused. This one, certainly, we know of examples where people feel God is telling them something and we're going, oh, you've got to be kidding. That's not the God I know. But I do think that that this can be helpful. The sense of what makes sense to your heart and your guts and in correlation with Scripture. And something that I've tried, not in relation so much to myself, but in intercessory prayer that I do on occasion, is try to visualize Jesus praying. When I'm concerned about a person and I think, you know, what does this person really need? How should I pray for him or her? I try to visualize Jesus praying for that person. And it occurred to me in praying for this and preparing for this that might work just as well or better for myself, to try, as I'm facing some decisions, to visualize Jesus praying for me, confident that Christ wants the very best for me, and what might that be. So I'm kind of excited to try that in relation to myself. I'm not sure why that never occurred to me before. I've come up with, I think, some amazing insights in regard to other people sometimes when I've tried that. It's a technique I read about from Lloyd Ogilvie. And the third way is the Christian community. For those of you who want to program, this looks a lot like authority, as I understand it, how I make decisions. And I think I like to look at all three of these in conjunction with one another, and not look at any of them alone, test them against each other on making decisions. Because I think sometimes, well, an example, the executive presbytery, that's the equivalent of the bishop for the Twin Cities area presbytery, in one sense, my boss, was really leery about me resigning my position and concerned that once you get out, it's really hard to get back in. And had I listened only to him, I'd still be in a parish somewhere. That may have been God's will. In talking with him and with other close Christian friends, and in praying and listening to my inner conscience, and I think looking at some biblical principles of sabbatical, seventh year off, and things like that, that I really felt it was God's will to get out of the parish for a while, to put all those things together. Another example, and maybe I should apologize for using personal experiences, but they're the only kind I've ever had, is in making the decision to go into, quote, the ministry. When I was in high school, my pastor called me into his office and said, have you ever thought about being a minister? I said, well, yeah, I thought about it. No biggie. I mean, it was sort of on the list about 8th or 10th down there after airline pilot, a little more glamorous sort of occupations. And he said, well, you know, I would like for you to consider that because I think you've got some gifts in that area. And he said, and as I understand the call to the ministry, part of that is, it's not always just the way it happened to Paul with, you know, the light on the road, but also work that God's voice works through the Christian community, and that he was, in a sense, understanding that perhaps he was working there as a way of being part of my call to the ministry. The guy who lived next door to me in seminary was as straight a Presbyterian, really serious sort of type, called into the ministry by a vision of Jesus. He said he's never had one before or since, didn't ever expect to have one again. that's how, why he was in seminary. And I think that was very legitimate, judging by the fruits of his ministry since graduation. There are other people that were in seminary that, had they been asked me as part of the Christian community if they ought to pursue that, I would have said no. Yeah, we can.
Because you can go on and then look and look and look and say, no, that isn't it, no, that isn't it, no, that isn't it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, I might have put that under inner light or something, but certainly using our God-given sense. Though again, I can argue against every one of these, or at least against every one of them in isolation. When you talk about the foolishness of God, you know, sometimes I think God leads us into ways our common sense says, well, you've got to be out of your mind. Well, I had thought of it in relation to people that would be praying about it, but I think that wouldn't have to be limited to that. People who could think about it.
I think maybe when you get my view and you start talking about community, I don't think it, at least from my experience, doesn't have to be just Christians, because many of my best friends are not Christians. And I find that those are the people that know me the best, besides myself and my family. And I value their feelings and suggestions about it very highly. And won't discount them at all because they aren't Christian. If it was a decision of going into the ministry or not, maybe, yeah. But it will be life things.
Okay.
I agree with you, but I also think you need to sometimes be really careful. I've had some, you know, quote, non-Christian friends give me advice that was really good and that I could follow and that I appreciate. But there have been other times too where they don't understand my relationship with God. And so they don't have that kind of insight that another Christian would have. So there's a balance there.
Katie, would you be willing to say anything about fasting, prayer and fasting in relation to seeking the will of God? That's not an area I'm conversant with.
Well, when I was with the mission organization in New Jersey, and I was already scheduled to go over to Europe and spend the next 6 months in England,
I think three other questions that may or may not be helpful. How far in advance does God reveal his or her will? Or do we only get it a step at a time, and until we follow that first step, I sometimes think we don't really get the light for the second step until we've taken that first step.
Yeah, I didn't mean to be that, but last time I was trying to be careful to say choice of career rather
than. I think you were being careful. I'm just saying that when we use, unfortunately, you have to use your personal life as I would too. I've never had a sense of some call beyond my baptism. I feel terribly called to my baptism. But if I really got a chance, and the two last times I applied, when I was looking for a job, I applied all politics, government work, and I really think I'd be very happy there. And I mean, anybody else has to do that. But what bothers me, some people can get a very easy call if they say, I'm going to go and help someone in Africa. But really don't know how to make up their mind what school to go to. Or which job to take next. I mean, that's the place where the will of God, some sense of a will, or some sense of comfort. Maybe I'm pressing it.
What do you think, John?
I think you're right on target, what you're pointing towards there. My own life,
I have thought of going into ministry at all, so besides that. But, and like Bill, I've for a long time wanting to know who he's going to hold. That's when I said 3 months, you know. I was serious. What's going to happen 3 months from now? And that's a basic human feeling. I'm sure that we all want to be secure. But as far as vocation, as far as what field I'm working, these last few months I've been thoroughly convinced that no matter what it is I'm working, I'm still working in God's field. Being a pastor, you can do so many different things. Being a teacher, you can do so many things. Being an engineer, you have tremendous influence on the people you work with. So I felt the same frustration towards people who got into the ministry who have not any business being there, because they certainly had other gifts. Maybe that's the key, other gifts that would be much more valued somewhere else. You could have more influence. So that is, I didn't want to make a point about people who are in the ministry, but rather that wherever you end up, your job is no more important than somebody who's a pastor, as far as God's will goes.
I think Audrey's statement led into just a little bit of this other stuff that we can maybe cover it in just a couple of minutes. The basis of Weatherhead's book here, which is over the years sold 500,000 copies, he talks about the will of God and understanding it in three separate categories. The intentional will of God. Which is some of the obvious stuff, such as people getting along together, health, wholeness in life, and things like that. And he uses the example of Jesus. He says that God's intention, or Jesus' intention at the beginning of his ministry, was not to go to the cross. And we can get into arguments about this in relation to prophecy and stuff, but that's not his point. But that the intention was reconciliation of people with people and people with God, unity, and all that sort of thing, which theoretically would have happened if people had followed Jesus. Given the fact that people chose to reject Jesus, given the circumstances of human choice, free will, and in this case, sin, Jesus was finally faced with the choice of fleeing or shutting up or dying. And given that choice, under those circumstances, God's will was to go to the cross. And that God accomplished God's ultimate goal of redemption, of reconciliation, through the cross, not just in spite of it, that God's ultimate will was fulfilled. Weatherhead was pastor of City Temple in London in World War II, and faced, during times of the bombing, he would do as many as 11 funerals a day, and just constantly faced with the question of God's will. People always saying, well, my boy was killed 10 days ago in the raid on Berlin, but I must accept it. That was, the will of God. He would say, well, let's give Satan some credit. Maybe that was the will of Hitler, the will of Satan. Certainly it was not God's intentional will. Given the circumstances of the evil that was faced, given the circumstances of people's bodies are made to die when bullets enter them or they walk in front of, a three-year-old child, is not God's intention that the child runs out in the street and is killed by a car. And when people say, well, it's God's will, and as pastors we face that more often than we care to, I just go, my gosh, what kind of monster God are we talking about here? Certainly not God's intentional will. Circumstances of a child being in front of a car, the car will win 99 times out of 100 or more. God's ultimate will in the eyes of faith and resurrection is may be accomplished, or will be accomplished, that ultimately we cannot defeat the will of God. And that's what Weatherhead would define by God's omnipotence, that God eventually gets the last word, though we certainly can thwart the process and slow things down a lot. And I've found this over the years. I've got some little problems with it, but generally, to make this separation of what is God's intentional or circumstantial will and then finally ultimate will has been real helpful for me, and it's been helpful for other people as they deal with, especially with what seems to be senseless grief, and not to blame that on God. And as it relates to Audrey's, you know, maybe God really would have preferred that I be a farmer, but is able to use my choices and bring some good out of it, and ultimate will, that being that I'm going to do some good on this earth, I hope will be accomplished. That's real quick. That's the essence of it. I don't know if this book's in our library now. I was going to check. Got about a minute or two if anybody wants that. Well, this is all, I mean, this a little bit relates to it. I certainly don't want to get into the whole big subject 5 minutes before Vespers. I mean, my quick answer is I don't have any whys to why there are, why there's suffering such as cancer and things like that. Other.
But from what you said, there's an ultimate reason. But we may not know it yet.
Right. Yeah, that's what Weatherhead would say, is that cancer in and of itself is a circumstance. And he would say it's not God's intention, but we don't know everything that causes cancer and what's going on. Some of it certainly is a result of our poor choices ecologically, or what we eat and things like that, but certainly not all of it. I mean, and then under the circumstances when our organs are attacked by cancer, the circumstantial will of God is that we die. Ultimate will of God is reconciliation with